Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. We got the gang back in here. We got Mr. John White and Jan Peterzelka to round out the last few shows of the year. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, we're excited to be able to bring you this cooler edition, I guess, of Good to Grow, with the weather finally turning into somewhat winter time. And last week, we were all together celebrating one really big event in our group. And Jan, do you want to share that with us?
Absolutely. We had our annual certification ceremony. The theme was Boots on the Ground. It takes an army of volunteers. And we were very proud and happy to welcome 19 new certified Master Gardeners to the El Paso County Master Gardener Association. And along with that, we have a new batch of 20 interns, many of which attended our ceremony. And so they got to get an idea of what they have to look forward to this time next year. And it's just great. It boosted our numbers up to 96 certified Master Gardeners. And I don't believe, Denise, that that counts the number of Master Gardener Emeritus that we have on our roster. Those are folks that have served the association so well over many, many years. And they have been designated as Master Gardener Emeritus. And they continue to contribute to the association with their vast knowledge and lots of experience. It's just invaluable to all of us. So.
And we are sure grateful and thankful for you to be able to be a mentor to many of those interns that have just graduated and are continuing on. And,
and
John, we know that you have a lot of history back with the Master Gardener program. So you know firsthand what volunteers can do to contribute back to the community.
Right. Now, volunteers are invaluable, especially in times of tight budgets and all that kind of thing. So volunteers, you know, go way beyond the help that you get just in the office. And so they do help outside, help with projects, and help spread the word.
Well, and I think it's been incredible. I've been a certified Master Gardener now for 7 years. And I think it's really neat as we are going along every year and seeing more and more people, actually younger people, and they're still working and they're raising families. And I marvel that they have the time and the commitment to participate in this program, because it does take a lot of time and effort. And I know that's a sign of the times and, you know, more flexible work schedules and so forth and so on. But that, you know, over and above getting this done in a little over a year, to get that done when you have all of those personal commitments, that shows a true commitment and a passion for gardening. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And if you're looking into your 2018 bucket list, you want to make sure that you mark your calendars for next fall. We do start promoting the Master Gardener program all summer long, so you can visit with Master Gardeners at all of the outreach events. But we do only hold the program once a year during the fall, so September to November. So keep an eye out for that. And if you just can't wait, or you just can't commit the Thursdays during the fall semester, we also encourage you to continue to take the El Paso Community College container, Gardening for El Paso, that's taught by Master Gardener Speakers Bureau members.
And that is a whole lot of fun. I have the privilege of teaching container gardening in that class, and I'm really proud to say that last year our class made in all three semesters, and the classes were bigger than they had been in the past. And there are a number of certified Master Gardeners in our association, and that's how they got started, was by attending that EPCC class. And then they realized that they were ready to kind of go on to the next level. But
got their feet wet.
They got their feet wet. You're right, John. But those home gardeners, you know, and that's what most folks want to do. You know, they want to know how to make things work. And maybe they don't have the time to commit for the volunteer component after the class is over. But knowing that folks were really getting some good information out there, not just about gardening in general, but about gardening in El Paso. And we all know that that's very different from gardening in other places. And with our population of military folks that live here in town, that's another great opportunity for them. So they, you know, they're going to be here for a few years. They love to garden and they want to know what the best way is to do it. And if they've come from Maine or Vermont, it's a little different.
Right, exactly. So if you're interested in to be able to take the Gardening for El Paso Doc. That's going to be at El Paso Community College. That runs from January 20th to March the 10th at the Valle Verde campus. You can do all your registration online at epcc.edu or visit the Master Gardener website, and there's a direct link for that class.
There is, and we'll also make sure that we get that posted on our El Paso Master Gardener Facebook page as well. So keep your eye open for that information, and it's not too early to be thinking about that, especially with this chillier weather. You know, this is a good planning time for us.
And speaking of chilly weather, definitely the holidays are upon us. And of course, if you've been out into any kind of garden center, starting in October is when they start pulling out the Christmas plants. So let's talk a little bit about living Christmas trees or your options for your holiday trees in our area.
Right. I mean, we have several options. I mean, you know, the one that's probably most popular is the Afghan pine or Mondale pine. And it's, you know, widely sold in the nurseries. It's probably one of the most planted pine trees of all the pine trees in our area. And it does make a living Christmas tree in a pot that you can bring inside. The keys on living Christmas trees is that you don't keep them in the house very long. So maybe a couple weeks at the most, and then they need to go back out. If they stay in the house too long, then they get acclimated to the warm weather inside the house. And then when you do take them outside, then they get damaged by the cold. Mm. So they don't need to stay in the house more than probably a couple weeks. And then you can either donate them. The city's accepting them. I guess the county is now
as well.
Accepting them for use in their parks. You know, you can plant them out in your own yard yourself. And they make a wonderful landscape tree. They're fairly large, so be sure and give them lots of space. They get tall and get fairly wide, so give them lots of room. But they are a fairly fast-growing pine that does well in the area. There's another pine called the Italian stone pine that also can be used as a living Christmas tree. Maybe a little bit harder to find than the Afghan pine, but it is a very large pine with a rounded head on it rather than a pointed kind of tip on it. They can easily get 60 feet or more in height, so they can be very large. Some of the older pines that you find in older neighborhoods in town, you know, a lot of them were Aleppo pines. Mm-hmm. 2011 killed a bunch of them.
Oh.
So the ones that are pines that did survive that are large and got rounded heads, those are probably Italian stone pines, and you see those around the old Fort Bliss area, and you know, as you're going up towards the mountain off of Magnetic in Alabama and Memorial Park area, there's a lot of them in through that area, but very good pine to use. And then we have a whole raft of junipers that can be used, and you know, I've seen Italian cypress used for Christmas trees.
Oh,
so
right.
If you think out of the box a little bit and not have to have exactly that Christmas tree shape.
Right.
I mean, there's other trees that can be used. You know, there's several of the juniper species, Rocky Mountain juniper, alligator juniper, you know, one seed juniper. Those are all native junipers that can be planted back out in the yard. Same thing, don't keep them in the house more than a couple weeks. But, you know, there's different things you can use. Arborvitae, some people bring the arborvitae, you know, little small ones and a little bit bigger ones, and, you know, put some tinsel and some
lights around
it. Lights on them. they fit the bill. So,
right.
So there are different things that you can use.
Yeah, there's always people always looking at new trends or what's coming up for the holidays. And that's really a kind of a way to think outside the box without straying too far from what you really need, especially when you're looking into, you know, the holiday season is so relatively short compared to our growing season that it's going to give you a really good investment for your landscape for years to come.
Right. And there's, you know, people, of course, used, you know, yucca stalks and tumbleweeds and everything else. So,
oh, right, yes.
Yeah. So, but for living trees, I'd stay with, you know, the evergreens, and the ones we mentioned are, mm-hmm. you know, good for our area.
Wonderful.
Well, I think it's, like you said, Denise, there's a lot of trends. Depends on what's on Pinterest sometimes.
Right, exactly.
So what people are going to, you know, whether you're going to spray your tumbleweed gold or
right.
bring in the Norfolk that we've talked about that in the past with all the glitter on it and, you know, and have reminded you not to put those types of things, you know, on your trees. And, you know, and John, that's a question I would have on those kinds of things that you do buy that, you know, that are really pretty underneath, but they have all that glitter on it. Can you just hose that off before you bring it inside? Or
kind of depends on what they're sprayed with. You know,
that's what I'm wondering. Do we know?
No, I don't think we know for sure. But you know, if you put tinsel on and stuff, of course, that'll come off. But it always ends up, you know, dogs will get into it and then they'll have it in their system and they'll be passing it out later. And that blows all around the neighborhood. Oh, and, you know, if you're bringing cut Christmas trees back into the, you know, to the city landfill for chipping and stuff, they really don't want all that tinsel and stuff on it. And so I just, you know, kind of leave it up to the individual, but I'd, you know, probably lean to stay away from it just to be a little bit more sustainable, environmentally friendly tree is to use a living Christmas tree and not put all the artificial stuff on it.
Yeah, it's not a disposable product as well. So excellent, wonderful. So there's a lot of different options for folks and whether their space and their time commitments as well. So, and there's also other things that we also see in the garden centers. They see rosemary trees that are almost
Those are kind of fun, especially for a smaller space.
Yeah, they may look a little weird when you transplant them back into the landscape to get them back to kind of a
normal
look like a real rosemary bush, but they will.
Exactly.
You know, they'll grow out. And so those are kind of fun. And very fragrant. I mean, it's wonderful. Then, you know, when you, who's cooking dinner? Is there turkey in the oven or what? Because you're smelling the rosemary. But those are some options too. Lots of pretty, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a tree either. You know, there's all sorts of amaryllis and poinsettias and stuff out there.
Plant that sometimes you see used called podocarpus, which is the kind of yew, which is not the true yew, not the taxus, but it's a false yew, but you see it. Utilized, and it is planted outside here in El Paso. Kind of likes a little bit more of a protected, you know, protected from the sun and protected from the extreme cold. But they will grow, know, you see them utilized up against buildings and stuff. But they can be, you know, kind of pruned up into Christmas tree shape and sold as a living Christmas tree also.
Excellent. So a lot of little festive ideas there for you. And with all of those that you mentioned today, John, you want to give us your nomination for the plant of the week?
Well, plant of the week, I like juniper. Okay. It does have, you know, greenery that you can use for decorating for the holiday. So you can clip greenery off and use it. The, you know, female has the berries on it, so the berries can be brought in. They aren't poisonous. Actually, there's some, you know, remedies, I guess, through the years where they've been used in herbal remedies and stuff, so they aren't poisonous like mistletoe or something. And they can be utilized, and, you know, there's several different juniper species. Our native ones, again, would be alligator juniper, one-seed juniper, you know, a couple that be used and can be, again, planted out. And then you plant them out in the yard, then you can remove pieces of foliage off of it, you know, and use them for Christmases.
Years to come. Very nice.
So good tree to use.
Excellent. And our juniper is going to be our plant of the week for this week. And we're almost out of time, but we want to thank you for listening to Good to Grow. And I'm Denise Rodriguez. And
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we want to thank Jorge Morales for engineering and producing today's show. Remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.